Bruchim Abayim B'Shem Hashem Beruchim V'Shem. Welcome to our weekly Wednesday night shiur. Not exactly Wednesday night though. Yunishmas Ruzin Basra Chachana and Ezra. This Shabbos is Parshas Vayikra. We begin the new book of Leviticus. That one I can still pronounce. I can pronounce the numbers, and I can't pronounce the last one. Due to Reddit and Alamalami. Anyway, we do that every time. We start the book of Vayikra, which is interesting. The word Leviticus comes from Levi, because it's called Teiris Kahanim. Chumash is referred to as Teiris Kahanim, because it has the laws of Kabbanis and Aveda and Besmikdash. This Shabbos, we take out a second Sefer Teira, for Parshas Zochir. Parshas Zochir, as we said, is not connected with Shkolim. So although Shkolim was 2 weeks ago, we had an empty Shabbos, and then this Shabbos is Zochir. Subsequently, the next Shabbos is Parah, but it has nothing to do with this Shabbos being Zochir. It's simply because the Shabbos after is Achidish. And therefore, Parah is the Shabbos before HaChedesh always. We've been through this again. We've gone through it so many times. We went through it last 2 weeks ago. Anyway, this Shabbos, Pasha Zocher. Zocher is a Chiyav Midairaisa, Min HaTorah, according to the Torah. It's an obligation, men, women, and children, to hear the Kriyas HaTorah of Pasha Zocher. If anyone came up with leniencies over the course of the last few generations, they're wrong. They have no hands or feet. It is a. If you want to tell me that people don't, that those people don't have to fast on Tainus Esther, I'm not going to fight with your places, with your undertakings and your part and your spirituality. Pasha Zocher, everyone has to hear. It entails going to shul, obviously, unless you have a Sefer Teira and a reading of Teira in your house. It entails going to shul. It's the maftir. And therefore, the whole parsha is read first from one Torah, the second parsha, and then Parsha Zocher, which is from Kisetze, is read on from the second Sefer Torah. Is there a loophole? No. There's no loophole, but there is a way to fix. In other words, it is so stringent that one should be listening, should go to hear Parsha Zocher, that they even made a makeup for it. And that is, on Purim day, we read Vayava Amalek, before we read the Megillah by day. And that Vayava Amalek, if a person, Chas V'Sholom, misses Pasha Zocher, they can go hear Vayava Amalek on Purim in Shul to make it up. What are the excuses? Some communities only have one reading of Pasha Zocher, hence it's possible to miss it. And many Frum communities have it all day long. So there's no excuse to miss it. Pasha Zocher is therefore a chayv. Even the woman, Kimpitur, if she can walk out of the house, someone can stay with the baby for a minute, she can go hear Pasha Zocher, and then they'll switch off, and they go to a different minyan. So again, if you're calling me for a heter of Pasha Zocher, not to go hear it, I don't have one. Barring the fact that there's, again, like we said, only one minyan in your city, in your neighborhood, in your area, and it would be not even possible to walk to another minyan, and obviously your husband has kedima, he would have to hear it before you would have to hear it, talking to a woman, obviously, and therefore if you're stuck home with a baby that doesn't walk, that might be a reason that you should go later to Purim by day in the morning to hear Megillah in the shul, so that you hear Vayava Amalek, to make up for the missing of Parsha Zachar. Zachar eis asher asa lecha molik baderech v'tzeischem Mitzrayim. Remember, says the Torah, what Amalek did to you on your way out of Mitzrayim. We know from the other Kriya of Parshas Beshalach, Asher Korcho Baderech. The goal of Amalek was to cool us off in our path. Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, had just left Mitzrayim, and they were all focused on going to Har Sinai. They hit a little snag with the Yam Suf, which turns out to be even greater revelations. The greater revelations that the Shivcha Bayon, the maidservant, saw at the Yam Suf, how great and what happened, the godliness that took place by Kriyas Yam Suf. So although when they reached the Yam Suf, they cried out, and they said, now what will be with us? How are we going to be killed by the Egyptians who are in pursuit? Chas v'shalom. Our only options are to either jump into the water and drown, or to go to the right or to the left into the deserts, and then who knows what will happen to us. They were in a bind. Although leaving Mitzrayim, they left with song and dance, joy, with riches, with matzahs baking on their back. But they left Mitzrayim. They were out of this golus. They were out of the servitude, out of the tortures, marching to first Mount Taita and then to the Promised Land. They were in the most spiritual and fine place that they could be. Came Amalek like a bucket of ice water to spill on top of them, to dampen the mood, to ruin the spirit. That was their whole goal. And Amalek is, as we said, Gematria Sufik. Same numerical value as the word is Sufik, doubt. So whenever we are about to do something good and we have a doubt of what to do, we should know that's the Amalek. So comes Parshas Zachar, and we have an obligation to eradicate, to wipe out this Amalek. Wipe out the doubt that comes upon us, that confronts us, and that shows us and says to us, maybe we shouldn't do such a great thing. Says the person, I have no doubts. I'm dead set. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly where I'm going. I deal with things my way. I don't need anyone to hear me out. I don't need anybody to be my psychiatrist, my therapist. I don't need anybody to help me. I do it my way, and I get through it, and I get above it. I may be suffering. I may be hurting. I may be going through things, trials, tribulations. Chas v'shalom, rachmana litzlan. Something the opposite of good health, in somewhat way, but I'll deal with it. Those good doers, those good sayers who want to help me, if they help me, they help me. If they don't, I'm good. I don't need them. I can be without them. If they reach out and they call and they talk to me, or they, in today's world, they text me, PM me, whatever they do. I'll be courteous and answer. Single syllables. If things really are flowing, and they're really helping me, and they're really doing so much for me, and I see how unconditionally they want to help me, I guess we'll have full conversations. Maybe even talk on the phone. But on a general basis, I'm not reaching out to them. This is a malik. This is a malik where the malik tells you, no, you're fine. No, you don't need to hear somebody else's voice. You don't need to hear somebody else's ideas. You don't need somebody else's input in your life. You got this. You got this. Because obviously, one-on-one, a malik has a much better chance. When you have somebody helping you, when there's two Yetzer Tovs against one Yetzer Hara, the odds change. Similarly, not similarly, but definitely, this is the goal of a malik, to deprive us of what is best for us. In Torah, Aveda, Gemilas Chasadim, in our generally daily life, people that we just talk to, we just keep a connection with, obviously people that are beneficial to you, not the ones that are toxic. You find life flows smoother. And when you have two people looking at something, and one person is looking from the outside looking in, they have a better angle usually. And they can advise, and they can help, and they can talk. They can encourage. And even if you're the most independent person in the world, you get those fakes, you get those down times where you say to yourself, I just want to be alone. Don't bother me, don't disturb me. But knowing this person is there, and reaching out to that person can pull you out of that funk so much quicker. Excuse me. So many times I received an email today saying that somebody's traveling, somebody I know is traveling. It was their itinerary. I was very upset. I did not think they should be traveling just now. Turns out they're not traveling. It's a travel document they need for something. I guess for a passport or whatever it might be. So they got this travel document. They had it sent to me. I could print it out, whatever. But they didn't give me a heads up. They didn't tell me they were doing it. My first instinct when I saw it was to call the person up and say, who do you think you are? Why are you traveling now? Where are you going? You have obligations. You can't just pick up a leave. But I didn't do that. And I printed it out. And I looked and I went. Printer didn't work, and I did it each second. I set the printer. And eventually, it occurred to me what the person needed it for. So I just brought it to the person. But, in its own right, had I reacted, things would have been very, very different. It would have looked very ugly. Told the story before, but since we also have to talk about the rest of the Shabbos Zachar and its times, Sunday Mi'at Shem, Abaleinu L'Teva, is Purim. The day before Purim is always Tainus Esther, but Tainus Esther, the fast of Esther, cannot happen on Shabbos, nor can it happen on Friday. And therefore, it is brought earlier to Thursday. Thursday being Yud Aleph, Adar. Thursday is Yud Aleph, Adar. According to one opinion, Yud Aleph, Adar is when we start reading the Megillah. You read Yud Aleph, you base Gimel, Yud Aleph. That's Yerushalayim, Tezvav. And therefore, there are those of opinion that from Yud Aleph, they don't say Tachnun. It's already a Yom Tov for them. Not many Chabad. But Yud Aleph becomes really a Yom Tov. When it goes to a Mugdam into Yud Aleph, it has the actual stringency is of a regular fast and a regular time. Titus Eston itself doesn't have that many stringencies, and in today's day and age where many, many people have a hard time fasting or just refuse to fast for some gosh forsaken reason, many people are given the heter not to fast, the allowance. The fast is a day fast, it's not a 24-hour fast. It begins Friday morning before daybreak, which is at least the Shacha. You need to check your local Zmanim. I cannot give you a carte blanche time when your fast will start and when your fast ends. You need to check local authorities and local times, and you will see when your fast starts and finishes in your local area. If somebody, the night before, Wednesday night, when they go to bed, has in mind, I'm going to get up early Thursday morning, have myself a coffee, or even have myself breakfast before the time of the fast starting, one may do so. If that helps them fast the rest of the day, matayv asheichem. Some people have breakfast, sometimes makes them hungrier than the rest of the day. But you need to take out that stipulation and say the night before that that's what you're going to do. Otherwise you can't do it. You can't just wake up in the morning and say, hey, it's early enough, I'll eat something. If you didn't take out the stipulation the night before, you may not do it. The fast day is different this year than any other year, in that every fast day we have shachris. We say Slichas, and we say Vayechal, we lay in Vayechal. But Tainus Esther always, because it's Erev Purim, and on Purim we don't say Tachnun, and we don't say on the Erev of Purim, either the Mincha before. Therefore, generally, Tainus Esther, we don't say Tachnun for Mincha, and we don't say Avinu Malkeinu. However, this year, since it's not Erev Purim, since it's not Erev Purim, therefore we will say Tachten by Mincha with Avinu Malkeinu Yad Hashem. All providing, of course, Chas V'Shalom, Mashiach does not come today and take us out of Golus. In that case, we would not say Tachlun anymore, we'd have to fast. In Shmenese, by Mincha, one that's fasting says Anenu, in the prescribed place, Veshmakalenu. The shots, both by Mincha, by Shachas and by Mincha, in his repetition, says the Anenu. One should not be called up to the Torah if they are not fasting. Mincha, as every other fast, the Kriyas HaTorah, the third Aliyah, is a Maftir, which we say, Dirshu Hashem B'Matzei. A Minig Yisrael, which is Teda, which is a Teda thing that's done, a mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel, the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel, the half a shekel. Mm-hmm. We spoke about when we read Parsh Kisisa, when we spoke also Eshkolim. Mm-hmm. Where the Jew brought a Machzis HaShekel, a half a shekel, and with this the Jews were counted, these half shekelim of the entire nation were used for the sacrifices, the public sacrifices that were made for the entire nation. Brought for the entire nation. Machzis HaShekel is given before Mincha on Tainis Esther. Now, generally, one would think that it's connected with Purim. The Machzis HaShekel is not necessarily. And the proof is because we give it this year on Thursday, we don't wait until Matzah Shabbos. If somebody did not give Machzis HaShekel on Tainis Esther, on a regular Tainis Esther, which is the day before Purim, then yes, they can still give it on Purim. Purim has certain mitzvahs. The reading of Megillah, which is an obligation for, again, men, women, and children to hear, both at night and by day, which in this case would be Matzah Shabbos and Sunday. The night, we make, the person that's reading the Megillah makes three brachas, and everybody answers, Amen, and you're Yetzu with those brachas, and you're Yetzu with his Kriya. It's not a war. If there's a meeting of ladies, and a lady lays the Megillah, technically, it's okay. But generally, we don't find that. We find only men leading the Megillah, so therefore I use the expression, what Yetzu with his reading. One should follow each and every word of the Megillah. One should not miss a word listening to the Megillah, and obviously one reading should not miss a word while he's reading the Megillah. There are certain passages which are said, psukim which are said by the Kohol, and then the Valkyrie repeats. The ten names of the son, the names of the ten sons of Haman are all mentioned in one breath by the Valkyrie. Person repeating it does not have to. Everybody tries to, but you don't have to. By day, however, since we've made one of the three brachas, which is the Shehechyanu, we already made it the night before, and we heard the Megillah already the night before, therefore it's not a Shehechyanu for us by day, the Megillah. One needs to have in mind the three mitzvahs of Purim. Mesheleach Monois, Matanis Levyenim, and Suvidas Purim. Mesheleach Monois is two foods, that one needs to give to a fellow person. Man to a man, a woman to a woman. Men should not give to women. And it doesn't really flow that way the other way either. The second mitzvah, Matanas Levyenim, a gift for poor people. This is a very relevant mitzvah. We need to see to it that a poor person has enough for his Sudas Purim. And more. Matanas Levyenim is money, it is not food. It needs to be actual money that you need to give, and that has to be done, given to at least two poor people. Mishneach Manas has to be one, minimum of one person, two different types of foods, and Matanas Levyenim is a substantial amount to at least two poor people. There are many, many organizations that collect Matanos Levyenim. Now, the Matanos Levyenim need to be given on Purim. And therefore, by giving to the wonderful organizations, and there are many, many wonderful organizations, I guess the rabbis accepted that as the giving of Matanas Zevyanim. Whereas the actual Matanas Zevyanim is the poor person should receive it on Purim. A lot of these Matanas Zevyanim are collected and they ultimately are applied to Kimcha the Pischa, feeding the people for the poor people for Pesach. So they don't get it on Purim. So one should, even if you're going to give to an organization handsomely, you don't have to interview, you don't have to ask them for the W-2s. If a person sticks out their hand, call a patient, not yad, nesnle. Whoever reaches, sticks out their hand for a donation, we should give them. But if you know that they are actually aniyim, it helps. There are many families that need help financially. So if you're going to give and you know of a family, a neighbor, or someone in the neighborhood that actually could use money, it's best if you give them directly the money. Will they appreciate the quarter? No. So obviously we're talking about something substantial. Everyone to their own discretion, everyone to their own capacity. The reading of Megillah by day is from the Netzach Chama until Shkia. Anytime during between that and that, one can hear Megillah. Preferably, we hear Berevam Hadas Melech to hear it with a large crowd. However, sometimes, many a times, most of the times, a large crowd is a hindrance to hearing the Megillah, because it makes it like that much harder with that much more noise in the crowd. It should be with a minimum of a minion of men. However, there are private readings people have in their houses, etc. And sometimes maybe one or two men, maybe not even, maybe there's only a house of ladies. That is fine. The bracha should be made differently. But we don't do it. Mini Chabad, it's the same bracha we read in Mikra Megillah. Sudas Purim has to be, one has to wash for Sudas Purim, and one needs to eat bread. Oh man, I said a dirty word. It could be sourdough, the holy sourdough. Or it could be matzah. No, it can't. Ha. We don't eat matzah 30 days before Pesach. So therefore, it has to be the challah, or as I said, the holy sourdough, or somebody needs spelt, whatever it is. One must wash. Washing needs to happen before Shkiyas HaChama, and the Suda needs to tardy into nightfall. Ma'ariv is davened after the Suda, and the Birchas HaMazon in the Suda is recited with Ve'al HaNisim, the same Ve'al HaNisim that we added Matzah Shabbos and Shemoneh Esrei and Shachris and Mincha. And if we washed, which we probably wash from Lav Malka as well, Matzah Shabbos, we will say Ve'al HaNisim then as well. Ve'al HaNisim is not in the place where they have Yalav Yovei and Ritzei. So those of you that are used to benching on a special benching and they're waiting for after Rachim to say the supplement, it's after Neid Lecha. Amalek, as we said, throws doubts on everything. And many things that happen to us and we say, why? Why? Why me? I've told this story before, but it's always worthwhile telling, and it's a Purim story. There were Bachrim that used to go Miftzayim every week. They used to go put on film with people. And they're very, got one fellow that they were very close with, they developed a great rapport with him. And he used to learn with them a little bit, and he used to put on tefillin. It was always, it was a great thing. Purim was on a Sunday. And they were telling him, next week is going to be Purim. And festivities, and you have to hear the Megillah. You're not going to be in your office, so you have to figure out how you're going to hear Megillah. Same problem we have this year. He says, you know what, guys? Come to me. Let's make Purim party in my house. I said, you're kidding. No, I'm going to invite people. I'm going to make a shturim. Adrabah. The Bacham said, but we're going to bring the food. Because the kasha stand in your house is not necessarily something we want to eat. And if you're inviting people also, it's not right to feed them food that it's questionable. And he said, good, you're in, I pay. They went to one of the local stores here, maybe there were a few local stores here, they bought Vistav Tzayin for Sudas Purim. He said he had X amount of friends coming. Great stuff. They wrapped it properly, it stays hot. Mefort. Most people like to eat hot food. Some people like to let it get cold and sit and soggy and miserable. Most people like to eat hot food. And they packed up the car and they start going from Brooklyn to Manhattan on a Sunday. 35 minutes, 40 minutes to the end of Manhattan. See, the FDR or the West Side Highway, whatever it is. They usually go home from this Sunday. Who knows what it was, a marathon or something. It took them over 2.5 hours to get to this guy's house. Needless to say, they arrived not only not on time, but 2.5 hours late, an hour late, an hour and a half late. They allotted themselves an hour to get there, it took 2.5 hours. An hour and a half late, the food was cold. It was too late to read the Megillah. And on top of that, the guests were gone. And they tried to show up with the best spirit they could. They walked in, hey, happy Purim! And they saw the host standing there like a bapachta. Devastated. You guys embarrassed me so bad. I am so humiliated. All my friends that came, I told them how great you guys are, and the food, and the this, and that. We're all looking forward to it, and hearing the Megillah. Now, I didn't hear the Megillah, and I didn't have the food. My friends all left, and I'm embarrassed to know end from them. Well, they apologized profusely, a second time, and a third time, and a fifth time. And for whatever it was worth. They left the food there already also. I'm recording a shiur. And they went back tonight. Came Friday. Question, do we go? Do we not go? What's this guy going to say to us? Is he going to let us into the office? Is he going to throw us out in the neck? Why are you not eating? It's going to be stone cold. It'll be disgusting. You can't heat it up. No. They're going to go. They come to the guy's office, their tail between the legs, all sheepish. And the guy standing there, he lights up. Chevre! Shalom aleichem. Come, let's go learn something. Let's put on tefillin. Let's... Did he crack up? Is he going to throw us out a window or something? Is he making this up? No. The spirit was fantastic. And he's happy. And he's joyous. And he's lebedik. And they put on tefillin. And wants to learn extra. And he says, Chevre, I got to tell you something. You ruined the Purim party. But, the one who was the most angry was the person that I was married to, the lady that was living in my house. Unfortunately, she was not Jewish. And after you humiliated us so badly, in front of my friends, her friends, and everything, she sat there cursing out Jews. And she was swearing at the Jews and cursing the Jews and cursing the Jews. I said, oh, no. This doesn't work. I'm Jewish. She says, yes, I know. She packed her stuff and she left. All these months and years that I'm connected with you guys, I keep trying to tell you that I can't tell you. What are you going to look at me? What are you going to think of me? But I had a shiksa at home. Now, as I want to become Fruma and Fruma, and not know how to get rid of her, you guys did the work for me. She's gone. She's out, kaput. I'm not looking for her. She's not coming back. So now, I can keep the Shabbos. I'm going to keep the first Shabbos in my life. And I want to start doing more learning more Teda and doing more mitzvahs. Bachar, needless to say, we're totally blown away. They're blown away. Hashkocha Pratis. This is what Hashkacha Pratis is all about. This is what the Torah is all about. This is where we need to file our Amalek away. And we see a miracle of Purim in its own right. If you keep your score at home, the Gemara Tainis Chav Chesam and Aleph. The Gemara tells us that after Golos Bayis Rishon, the exile, of the first temple, Kish'olu b'nei Agela, le'motzu eitzim milishka. They came up, and they did not find any wood in the lishka. So, several families that returned donated their wood for the Ma'arocha, for the temple, for the altar on which to burn the sacrifices. And this became very, very valuable by God, very appreciated. And it was established every year on these days, these families will have the merit to give the wood and to donate wood for the Ma'arocha. Even if the Lishka was full of wood, the storage was full of wood. More than that, according to the Takanas Chachamim, as we say, what the Chachamim established, this became a yomtiv for the family. The day that the family brought their wood was a yomtiv, was a holiday. Such a yomtiv so joyous, they couldn't fast, they weren't allowed to work. The full-fledged Yom Tov. If you give his gordom another Gemara, also in Tainus, Yud Bezim and Aleph, and the Gemara adds and says, Shein Dechem es Tishabov, Shechal Veshabbos, Lemeachag Shel Eisim Mishmachas. If Tishabov came out on Shabbos, then we push it to Sunday. We fast on Sunday. However, if that Sunday was a day that one of these families were to bring their wood, we would not push off Tisha B'Av to Sunday. Whether they fast on Shabbos or not, is it negotiable? Probably not. But that Sunday was a Yom Tov, you're not allowed to fast. They were not allowed to fast. We find yet another Aveda, a joy, which is tied and bound with this wood. Again, keep his going home, the Gemara Tainis, Chavav Amid Beis. And the Gemara tells us, Leho Yu Yom Em Tev, the Mishnah, Leho Yu Yom Tev, the Yisok, Mishasim Ov, V'yem HaKippurim. There's no Yom Tev to the Jews like the 15th day of Ov and Yom HaKippurim. And later, that's the Mishnah. So later, giving scored on the Gemara Tainis, Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph tells us, explaining this very Mishnah, one of the reasons for the Simcha of Chamisha Sabav, that is the last day that the cutting of the wood was allowed. And we've spoken about this to understand what is the value so much of the wood of the Maracha, which so much so that the day of their donation was a Yom Tov. And the day that they were no longer allowed to cut the wood, the last day, was a bigger Yom Tov than ever. Perhaps we could say the wood of the Maracha was not only a technical medium used for the wood, for the fire of the carbon. It had a kedusha, it had within itself, within its essence, a very spiritual connotation in the Aveda the Kabbanis. The Ramban explains in his Mitzvahs Kabbanis and says, when a person brought carbon, Adam, maybe, Shekasher, Adam, maybe carbon, a love, Lachshayiv, when a person brings a korban, he has to think. Shebeetzem umakriv berega es rega ze es atzmei laKadosh Baruch Hu. That in this moment he's sacrificing himself to the Eibishter. Ukeshene, and he says, Roi loy sheyishpeich sheshafeich domei v'yisarif gufei. It should actually happening now that his blood should be spilled and his body should be burnt. However, l'chesed abeda shalokach v'menu t'mura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took an exchange, domoi tachas domoi, nefesh tachas nefesh. The blood of the animal for his blood and the soul for his soul. By Kabbanis themselves, there are different types. Therefore, the bringing forth the Karban, the total self-nullification, the dedications and devotions to God, change according to the Karban. Karban Chatas, for example, it's an obligation from the person that brings it to feel thoroughly through and through repentance. The depth of his heart, the depth of his entire existence. Because that's a karma chatos for forgiving. Korban Teda, which is a korban brought for thanks, with different types, this awakens the love of the person to HaKadosh Baruch. So we see here two total different emotions as we bring the korban between this korban and this korban. The total self-nullification and feeling of not having any feeling of self-worth because I sinned and therefore I'm repenting for my sin and I'm bringing this korban chatos. And then the korban teda of joy, of thanks, of love, of appreciation to God. I'm connecting through Ava instead of through Yira. The basis, fundamental basis, needs to be a simple feeling, a simple emotion of self-nullification, devotion, dedication, total dedication to the Eibishter. And he has no other feelings with it. This giving, this devotion of ani, of the ani to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of giving myself, my full essence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only after can a person use this emotion to put it into the form of the sacrifice which they are bringing, whether it be the chatas or the teda. Only then can they take that emotion and carry it on. We know that when Yaakov Avinu meets Yosef for the first time after the 20 plus years, the emotion should be very, very high. The love welling up in the father to his son should have been beyond. He should have just wanted to hug him and kiss him and not leave go. But whereas Yosef bent down to kiss his father, instead of reciprocating, Yaakov said Shema Yisrael. He said Kriya Shema. Why? He said, because I had such strong emotions well up within me at this time. And on a normal basis, a father to a son should have given all those emotions to my son. Instead, I channeled it to give it to God. And to give myself totally over to God with that full pent-up love, that full emotion, so that I should be able to serve God with that emotion instead of to the person. So too, when the person brings the korban, brings the sacrifice, one needs to feel the same way. We find this in the Sreifas Eitzim, the burning of the wood. It's known, the person, he adam eitz asada. The person is compared to the trees of the forest. The burning of the wood, therefore, is the total nullification of the existence of what's similar, the parallel existence to the person, of the wood becoming total ashes. And no longer has any kind of metzias of its own, but has become totally given over to God. Personal emotions get somewhat involved when it comes to a karma. Even with a karma oila, which becomes totally burnt on the mizbeach, it's only natural that a person should feel some kind of pleasure I gave to God. I caused the nachas ruach to the Eibishter. That's with the animal, or whatever you brought as a karban, mincha, whatever it might be. But the wood, where does the wood come into play? It doesn't get, you don't get emotionally attached to your wood. Not that you get emotionally attached to your cow either. Even if it has a name. But by the wood, that's where the true devotion is. It has no gain or no personal gain. Because of this tremendous mila, it bonds a special joy the person has with the Atzei HaMelacha. These pieces of wood show the purity and the elevation of which you bring about the carbon, more than the carbon itself. So one brings a carbon, one needs to be mispal. One needs to pray. When it's a karban toida, I'm praying thanks to Hashem for what He has done for me. Thank you, Hashem. Whether it comes in the song or not, or it comes as an emoji. There's a whole movement today called Thank You, Hashem. It became bigger than Hineni. When the person is remorseful for the carbon of doing a sin and he brings a carbon chatos, when a person needs to bring a carbon oila, etc., etc. The chatos, one needs to put the hands on the animal actually to say, vidui, and to talk about his sins and express his sins. Carbon toida, chayim. Chayrish, Mesakona, Yam, Yisurim, Midbar, whatever the person went through, the person says at this point, thank you Hashem. Doesn't enumerate, thank you Hashem for taking away this infection, that infection, this infection, and for this surgery going successful, and this is, and this doesn't enumerate everything that went on in the hospital. Doesn't count how many cars were in the car accident. Doesn't count how long and how far the desert was, how many grains of sand he walked over, the water he flew over. You just say, thank you, Hashem. Thank you for giving me my life, for gracing me. And you don't even have to say, I'm unworthy of your kindness. And how I have to be even more thankful. Just need to be thankful. A Yid has the koyach to daven and to thank Hashem that way. The famous story of Hashem HaKadosh. When there was a drought, there was no rain. And the Hashem Tov told his Talmidim, go to this, and it was that city, the outskirts of the city, to another, wherever it was, to go to find this certain drunk, this alcoholic, he's drunk. He wasn't an alcoholic, he was a drunk. Which meant, Maidan and the Fanaka, and the bottle started. And that went until Hamapil. And he was perpetually drunk from sunrise to sunset, till dark. From dusk to dawn. Dawn to dusk, whatever. Go to him and ask him to daven for rain. However, since he's in a perpetual state of drunkenness, you need to catch him as soon as he wakes up, before he takes that first swig in the bottle. Because once he starts, you're not talking to him. And they go to the drunkard and they wait and they see this guy's taka plastered. And they wait, he falls asleep, and they wait. It comes in the early morning, they're sitting there, ready to pounce. And as soon as he opens his eyes and he reaches out for his bottle, they grab the bottle away. And they tell him, the Baal Shem Tov told us to come to you to daven for us. Baal Shem Tov needs me to daven, please. But Baal Shem Tov told him clearly he could not do anything about this decree. Only this fellow can. And they told him that there's a terrible decree upon the Jews, and there's no rain, and the Baal Shem Tov said, you're the only one that can do it. So he stopped, he didn't have his bottle in his hand anyway, and he turned to God, and he davened, and immediately began to rain. They gave him back his bottle. When they came back to the Baal Shem HaKadosh, they told him the story, and he said, I'll tell you what this person is. This person is an ish poshut, ma'id ma'id, very simple, simple person. One day he had a tremendous temptation to do a horrific, horrific sin. He gathered, maybe it was all his money or whatever it might have been, a large sum of money, and he set out to go do the sin. En route, he sees a family, a man, a wife, and children sitting on the roadside. The children are crying. Surely they're starving, tattered clothing. And he said, Vosigishanin, what happened to you? And they said that they were evicted by the parents because they didn't have any money to pay him. How much do you need to pay the parents to get back into your house? They told him that was the exact amount he had in his sack to go sin. He gave them the money instead of the sin, and they were saved. And for this merit of this kindness that he performed, he was granted the schus, because the Maile didn't know what to do with the guy, he didn't do anything else, and he was going to do just a grave sin. He was granted the schus to whatever he prays for is answered. Chiddush Erim says, on Purim we have that power. We can daven, and anything we daven for on Purim is answered. However, we have to put a little bit of a twist. So the twist that's presented is, we add layada. We're given the mitzvah to drink all day. And therefore, the person doesn't occur to them, if they're so busy with Megillah, and with the drinking, and with the partying, and with everything else, they don't have the time actually to sit in the daven. We have to take and grab the bull by the horn and take the hizdamnut to daven, and all our tefillahs will be answered. Mi'atz Hashem, this Purim, everyone's tefillahs will be answered. The ultimate tefillah, the semach dover avdecha meheres atzmiach, and we will find ourselves back in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh, this very Shabbos Pasha Zocher, and we will eradicate totally the Amalek from within us, from the world, and we'll be with Mashiach Tzidkenu, Shabbat Shalom to all.